Good morning. It'd be nice if the sun was shining, but it would be nice if it was raining. But certainly good to be here, and especially to look out upon a reasonably full house. Richard came in and gave us a little update on his grandson after surgery, which he's had here last week. And he don't want to eat the pureed food anymore because he thinks he's too big. Ain't supposed to do that. How you running, man? Oh, there he is. Anyway, get back to the subject here. Anyway, he don't want to eat his pureed food, and he thinks he's just as big as the rest of them. And that kind of gets into his mouth, and where they had this surgery on his hair lip. And but he's doing so well, the doctor took the bandage off of his lip for a few days, for a little while anyway. Now, I don't understand that, but that's... Richard didn't tell me that. Doris read that on the internet, I think it was. But anyway, it's certainly nice to be here. I want to read the call to worship here this morning. And he took bread and gave thanks and break unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." This is taken from Luke 22, 19 and 20. So as we prepare this morning to partake of the communion, we hope and pray that each and every one of you have came with a desire in your heart to serve our Lord. And we're going to sing hymn number 410. And I will bring the invocation after that. Father in heaven, as we have gathered here this day to partake of your of bread and life, bread and wine, we pray, Father, that we can do this in remembrance of the covenant which we have taken, each and every one of us, that we have remembered that and came here with a soul and a spirit to forgive one another for the things that have happened in the past. So lift us up unto Thee, O Lord, unify us, and give us the strength to carry on and build Your kingdom and prepare ourselves for it to come down. So, Lord, as we enter into this service this day, we pray that the power of Your Holy Spirit can be with each and every one here, that they can go from here and rejoice. We ask these blessings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just a few remarks before we partake of the sacrament this morning. How fitting it was that Elizabeth was to sing for us, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," because that's why we're here this morning, that we might turn our eyes to Him, that we might worship Him, that we might praise Him. I think probably everybody in the room knows what took place 234 years ago today. If you were out, you probably saw the fireworks celebrating, and there'll probably be fireworks today and tomorrow celebrating our independence. In view of that, I'd like to share with you a scripture from the Book of Mormon. It's from the Book of Ether, chapter 1, verse 35. "Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nations shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who have been manifest by the things which we have written." We come today to serve the God of this land, even Jesus Christ. And how this ties into our sacrament. In a few moments, you'll be hearing the prayers being read over the bread and wine, and in that, we're reminded that we were willing in the waters of baptism to take upon ourselves His name. And in return, also, that we'd be willing to keep His commandments. And then we're giving the great and wonderful blessing and promise that if we would do that, we would have His Spirit to be with us always. May it be our desire to have that Spirit to be with us. As I thought about what we are not only just going to be doing with partaking of the sacrament, but the celebration that we're going through as a nation, I thought of those individuals who 234 years ago, none of us were there then, but we can read about them in books. And I think if we were able to have personal contact with them, we would find that a lot of them were very similar to what we were, who we are. They had lives, they had jobs, they had professions, they had families. And you know, I'm sure that if we were being very critical of them, we would find that they were not perfect, even as we aren't perfect. Yet God saw it in His infinite wisdom to use them and inspire them to bring about this nation. Most of the world thought that they were foolish, said it can't be done. A little ragtag group of individuals coming together against the mightiest power on earth, the British Empire. If you were to read church or read American history, you will find that there is no doubt that in and of themselves they could not do it. It was only through divine intervention, divine protection, divine inspiration, and the list goes on and on, that they were able to achieve what they were supposed to achieve. To set in motion the greatest nation upon the earth, that some say that ever was. As we look at the day in which we live, we see that the world is trying to diminish what they accomplished. Our history books are being rewritten. God is being taken out of it, and His influence and the role that He played in our becoming a free nation. And we see the adversary is seeking to disrupt and discourage and destroy anything that has to do with God. What does that have to do with us today? We're not calling for you to take up arms and go in open rebellion against a government this day in which we live. But God is calling us to take up His ways, that we might confront the forces that are battling us. In and of ourselves, we cannot do it. It is only through His divine intervention, His divine inspiration, His divine protection, and the list goes on and on. The only way it can be achieved, and for His kingdom to become a reality, is through the power of God. And you know, there will be many that look at you and say, this ragtag army cannot achieve that. We've been told that ever since 1830. And in and of ourselves, we can't. It is only through that divine intervention that we are able to accomplish what God has asked us to do, that His will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we must turn our eyes upon Jesus. We must not be comfortable with where we are in our present situation. We must be go beyond our comfort bounds. At the 70s reunion, Brother Randy Vick shared something during his session. He said while he was in Africa and they had prayers, he said a lot of their prayers were simply, Lord, thank you for life. Amen. And he thought that was a little strange, that it would just, that'd be all there would be to it. But as he examined their lives and where they were coming from, the civil wars that their country was involved in, they were literally thankful for their lives. Every day it was a struggle to sustain their physical lives. May it be our prayer that we say, God, thank you for life. And may we face the struggle and not be comfortable with where we are, that we might go forward with His Spirit. And as you hear those prayers and those promises read, we are living in a day where we are called to have His Spirit to be with us, that we might not fulfill our purposes, but that we might fulfill His purposes. So let's reflect upon that as we partake of the bread and the wine, even those symbols of His broken body and spilt blood, and that sacrifice that He paid, that we might have that opportunity to serve Him. And may our eyes be turned upon Jesus even this day.
As we meditate upon the prayer and the serving of the bread, let us sing hymn number 269.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. possible, will you please kneel facing the altar as the prayer is given over to you? O God, the Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him, and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
While we meditate upon the serving of the bread, the wine and the prayer, is there anybody missed the serving of the bread? Let us sing hymn number 264. Did anybody miss their portion of the wine? This time, our brother Larry House, priest, will bring us our communion message.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
We'll be looking at a lot of scripture today. And that's because through Jesus, we are blessed, and when we look to Him, we get our answers that we need for us to lead our daily lives. I'll be reading mostly in John, the third chapter, and we'll be starting with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles without which thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The wind bloweth where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is every one who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we, meaning Jesus and his disciples, speak that which we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? I tell you, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. In the lifting up of the serpent in the wilderness that Moses did, the children of Israel were discontent of what God had done for them. He had taken them out of Egypt. He had parted the waters for them. He'd fed them manna. But they were still distrustful of what God would do for them. So God sent fiery serpents to sting and to bite them. many unto death. And then God had Moses make up a bronze serpent, and they placed it upon a pole. In doing this, it made the people that wanted to be saved to look up to Christ. Just like nowadays, sin is a bite and it stings. And through Jesus Christ, we are saved from our sins through forgiveness and repentance. But we have to look up to Christ and his teachings. There are many ways that we can learn more about Jesus. And we find his teachings in the scriptures and through prayer and fasting and study. We learn more about Jesus. And that helps us to become more like him, which in turn leads us to perfection, which allows us to live with our Heavenly Father in the celestial kingdom, which is desirable. That's where we want to be. We want to be living so that we can live in the celestial kingdom. That's how we want our lives to be. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believeth on him is not condemned, but he who believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God, which before was preached by the mouth of the holy prophets. For they testify of me, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because of their evil deeds. For everyone who doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Evil comes into our lives in many different forms, such as radio. A lot of the songs that are on the radio talk about cheating, lying, getting drunk. In general, they talk about things of the world. And then on TV, you get programs that show where children are being disrespectful to their parents. And they make their fathers look foolish. And some shows promote that you can have sex with anyone outside of marriage without having that covenant. And they like to use the Lord's name in vain. And they use acronyms like OMG and slang words. Some of these slang words kind of go back to a long time, but like gee, gosh, darn, golly, and heck. These are just a few of the simple slang words there are many more. It is not right for us to use words that sound so close to words that are really wrong. It is basically about saying the same thing. Because in your mind, you know what those words represent. The Lord gave us counsel in these things. And if we look in James 3, or chapter 3, verse 5, find. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and bird and serpent and things of the sea is tame, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. We need to learn to control the things that come out of our mouth, and be mindful of what we are saying, especially to those that are around us. In other words, don't leave your mind in idle while your mouth is running. Some of the other things that draw us away from Christ and his teachings, as our brother brought to us a few minutes ago, our schools. They're not teaching on how our forefathers revered God and established this nation. Our government. They've taken prayer out of the public schools, and they are teaching evolution instead of creation. And they are trying to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. And they want us to believe that all religions are good. Let's go to 4th Nephi, chapter 1, starting with verse 29. And this kind of talks about some of the same situations that we are facing this day. You'll see the similarities of how they are. And it came to pass that when 210 years had passed away, there were many churches in the land. Yea, there are many churches which profess to know the Christ, and yet they did deny the more part of his gospel, inasmuch that they did receive all manner of wickedness, and did administer that which was sacred unto him to whom it had been forbidden because of unworthiness. How is that in that relation to what we've seen going on to administer the sacrament, sacred things, unto people that have not been baptized. That's happening in other churches. In verse 30, and this church did multiply exceedingly because of iniquity and because of the power of Satan, who did get a hold upon their hearts. That is so not, that is just not any different than what we are facing today and what's around us. There's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Did we prepare ourselves today to be worthy when we reached our hands forth and partake of the sacrament? The sacrament should never be treated lightly. Or it should never be done as a formality, as something that we do on the first Sunday of every month. It is always important for us to remember the sacrifice that our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, made for us. Because as the scriptures have said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is no greater love than the love of God. And through Jesus, we are given the opportunity to repent and to ask for forgiveness of our sins. To repent, you come before the Lord in humbleness of heart, as a little child would come to his father. In Moroni, chapter 8. Starting with verse 11. Behold, I say unto you that this thing shall ye teach, repentance and baptism unto those who are accountable and capable of committing sin. Yea, teach parents that they must repent and be baptized and humble themselves as their little children, and they shall all be saved with their little children. And their little children need no repentance, neither baptism. Behold, baptism is unto repentance, to the fulfilling the commandments, unto the remission of sins. We need to remember to always look to Christ, so that we are not bit and have the sting of sin. And as Christ taught us of how we are to partake of the sacrament, we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23. It's 11:23. For I have received the Lord, that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh condemnation to himself, not disconcerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home. And ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will be set in order when I come. We've been shown of how we are to come to the Lord's table. We've been told and there are just so many things in this world that try to distract us and take us away from our goal to look up to the Lord, our Heavenly Father, to ask for his forgiveness, to seek his forgiveness, and to have repentance. We have to look within ourselves, to judge ourselves of where we are with God and His Son. It is up to us. We have that choice. I'm going to skip down to John, the third chapter, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto his hands. And he who believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and shall receive of his fullness. But he who believeth not the Son shall not receive his fullness, for the wrath of God is upon him. Why did Christ die for us? He died for us because he loved us. In doing things this way, he gave us the only way that we could achieve salvation and a remission from our sins. Without his death, we would have never known the love of God. And the promises he has for us. That's one thing that we can count on from God. He never breaks a promise with us. He's always there. His word is iron. And you can always count on it. May God bless you.
I'm going to close our service using hymn number 398. We will remain seated. At the end of the service, we will remain seated for a few moments. We will have an administration, and Brother Paul, Ed Landis wants to be administered to. So we'll just have him come right up here after the service here, and I'll take a chair and sit out here for you. Dan and Clarence will perform the ordinance. 398.
Upon your physical body, even as this physical oil has left its evidence. I pray that you would be forgiven and cleansed in a clean vessel through which that Spirit might be able to work and move. that truly this day might not only you be blessed, but our Heavenly Father would be glorified. I would uphold my brother Clarence as he speaks those words as an elder in the Church of Jesus Christ, that he would be blessed from on high, and he would give utterance as to those things to pray on your behalf. And may those things done at this time bring praise and glory unto him. It's in his name I pray, in Jesus. Amen.
Our God and our Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, having been called and set apart in your holy priesthood to stand in your stead, Father, to bring blessings unto your children, you have seen in your wisdom to place this ordinance within the framework of your gospel to bring comfort and counsel and wisdom unto your children that come unto thee in faith, believing that you are no respecter of persons. And Father, we would hold our brother Ed up to thee this very moment, knowing that we are weak and thou art strong. Thou hast all wisdom and all knowledge, and we are but subjects unto thee. And we have given the mantle of priesthood to stand in your stead to bring counsel and ministry to your children. And as Ed has requested this ordinance to be performed on this the Sabbath day, on the day that we have remembered our covenant with thee, and that we have recommitted our lives unto thee. And so as Ed has recommitted his life unto thee, Father, we would pray that your Spirit might continue to work with him, to give him direction and insight and wisdom, that he might be that great servant that you have called him to be, that he might perform his duties to the best of his ability with the power of your Spirit directing him and comforting him and guiding him. So, Father, we would just, as a congregation, as a priesthood, hold him up to thee, Father, for that choice of blessing that this day and forever is my prayer in Christ Jesus' name.
May the Lord bless each and every one of you this day. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Oh,